Today on The Grave Talks, House of Evil, a conversation with Brandon Crotty. When your dog comes running up to you in the backyard with a human femur in his mouth, it's not going to end well. That's what the parents of Brandon Crotty experienced in their backyard when he was a child. Soon after finding the body of the wife of the former owner in the backyard, paranormal experiences would begin. Voices in the attic, pets fearing the basement, satanic symbols behind walls, being pinned to the bed. These were all normal experiences, quote-unquote, in that house. This is a story of the haunted childhood of Brandon Crotty, today on The Grave Talks.
Well, I grew up in a house in Pasadena, Maryland. That's where it all started. I was plagued by the paranormal ever since I was a child. We grew up in a household that when we moved in, we didn't know much about. Come to find out, there was a woman that was buried in our backyard.
Oh my God.
The man that used to live there, we don't know if he murdered her or what happened, some situation like that. So there was already that weird feeling like somebody died and they were buried in our backyard. This is creeping me out. I was a young kid and didn't understand too much of it. I started battling like anxiety, hearing things, feeling things, and seeing things that I couldn't explain. My family, like my parents, had experiences where they were hearing people inside the attic at night. The attic was moved. Sound like full-blown conversations. My brother experienced some things in the same room where the attic was, like the window shattering or opening on its own. I was experiencing things when I'd come home from school where I actually called the cops thinking somebody was breaking in, and there was nobody ever in there. Our dog was always barking and growling at things in the basement and was frightened to be alone in the household. And of course, nobody was telling me like, hey, this is paranormal stuff that's happening right now. Of course, I still didn't understand it. The biggest thing for me was when I was staying alone, I woke up in my bedroom and I felt like I was sedated, but I was awake, but kind of like in a dream state. And I saw three or four gray, long, tall figures standing around my bed. I still remember that image in my head. And it almost looked like grays. So this house was just full of activity. And there was some evil, evil experiences, like my grandmother being pinned down, screaming out for help, experiencing sleep paralysis and getting scratches.
Wow.
That's where it all started. And then watching the paranormal shows growing up, I always had an interest in it. And then I think when I lost my brother, not only did it bring faith into my life, but it brought me closer to the spiritual world.
Let's take a step back, because I want to dissect some of the things that you talked about. There's a lot to unpack there. Let's go all the way back to the woman, the body in your backyard. Now, this is something that, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is, was it Funny Farm or what? There was Money Pit. It was one of those movies back in the 80s where they go in the garden and they find the casket in the garden. How did this transpire for your family where you discovered there was the body of a woman in your backyard?
Wow, it was crazy. I was so young. They try to keep it a secret. They tried to keep the whole like a secret on the block, basically. Like nobody wanted to talk about it. So basically, the man that lived there, they think that he murdered his wife. That's who she was. But there was no evidence to prove it. So her being buried in that backyard, we moved in not knowing. I believe this is what caused a lot of the activity, to be honest. We found Ouija boards, symbols inside the attic. I don't know what he was up to or what he was conjuring. But I mean, just the fact that knowing somebody died in that household, in our yard is freaking me out, but, you know, when I was inside there.
How did you guys, though, actually come across the body? Were you digging a garden? What was the moment of discovery there for you?
It was our dog. Our dog was actually in the backyard, and he was pulling out something out of the ground. He undug something up out of the ground, which looked like a cover of sorts, something like a sheet or a big pellet sheet. That's what it looks like. So they got that out of the ground, and when they found out, they contacted whoever they contacted, like the cops and such. They found out there were still remains of a woman. So it was actually our dog.
So she wasn't buried 8 feet under or anything like that. She was actually pretty close to the surface, the fact that your dog was able to start digging up remains. So how did that, and I know you were a kid at the time, but I'm assuming years later, you probably heard more of the story. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard a little bit more as I got older.
So tell me.
My family admitted to telling me.
Tell me more about the experience there. Where what actually transpired? Your dog starts bringing things out that are questionable, and they discover there's remains of a woman, and they discover this is the body of the wife of the former owner. How does that continue? Was the former owner still alive? Was there any sort of investigation into him as to why the body of his wife is in the backyard?
Now, I know that my parents told me there was an investigation, but they didn't get into details. I still don't know today if he got arrested, locked up. I don't know if he was alive. I'm not 100% sure on that. I do know they went into a deep investigation for it, and everybody kept it on the hush. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Is that something you've ever looked into as an adult to try and I would think that'd be something you'd be very curious about.
Actually, recently, we're thinking about trying to find out how can we get back into my childhood home. Mm-hmm. We're trying to find out who lives there now and if they experienced anything. We're actually getting ready to work on a season 3. So I'm thinking about filming and investigating my childhood home where this all happened.
So tell me more about life in the house. Let's go to the voices in the attic. That sounds like one of the first things, from what I understand, that you guys started to experience all individually. What were you hearing specifically? Can you walk me through a night or a day or whatever the situation was? What were you doing? What was the setting when you first started having those experiences?
So, for example, if my mom was home alone, she would assume I was skipping school. I was hiding in the house because I did it a couple times. And she assumed those days she was hearing people upstairs. It was me or my friends that were hiding in the house, skipping school. So it sounded like anybody else just chilling upstairs, walking around. But it almost sounded like to me when I was hearing these voices, full blown conversations, if there was people living above us. Mm-hmm. If you're having a party, you live in an apartment, you can hear the people upstairs, and this is a condo. So nobody lived above this. So it almost just sounded like people were living up there. Mm-hmm. But there was times that I heard moaning, I've heard singing, and then you could hear the footsteps of somebody walking around. It was just think about it as a crowd of people. It would get to that point that loud. Not only me, but the family would hear.
When you would go into the attic to take a look, and I'm assuming somebody did that at some point, go, what is going on up here? Was anything ever disturbed? Was anything ever moved or out of place?
No, not a lot of things were moved. We found a Ouija board upstairs. We found a couple drawings on the wall that were symbols that I don't think I would know today what they were. Mm-hmm. I don't quite remember, but they were strange. There are some boxes, just a regular attic, some Christmas stuff, a lot of Halloween decorations, but they had the one in particular thing was the spirit board, finding that up there. That was strange.
Yeah, I mean, to find that's a it could be something innocent. It could be the former owner's kids, that were up there messing around with it. But the fact that the wife's body is in the backyard, that makes you start to wonder, is there something more nefarious going on? And symbols on the wall, that's usually a step beyond the neighborhood kids playing with the Ouija board. When you look back on some of those things, and I do want to dive into more of the stuff that happened there, but I just want to get your perspective. All these years later, looking back, what do you think? It's just an opinion question, but what do you think was going on in that house that led to the death of this guy's wife, and she's buried in the backyard, and all the other signs and clues that you came across? What does your gut tell you?
He was into something darker, I think. I think he was something, maybe something influenced him to cause this to happen. If he did do this to his wife and he was the one that murdered her, I believe something influenced him there. I believe he was also playing with things that he shouldn't have been playing with. That's my belief. I do feel like, you know, after what I experienced, I felt and seen there, it was just really scary, man. It was, it felt like, I wouldn't say demonic, but it felt like he was headed towards that route if I would have stayed there longer. I mean, I even got sick when I stayed there. I ended up getting so sick with salmonella poisoning, they couldn't find out what did it. Like, it wasn't a food. It wasn't anything like that. Where I couldn't walk, they had me in a wheelchair for a short period of time. Something was evil there. And I believe, again, he was influenced by something. And like the Ouija board part, I can't confirm if it was just like something that was already there before him, or he had kids that played around with it, or he was doing something and going too deep into something that he couldn't get himself out of. So,
do you consider yourself sensitive to the paranormal or feeling things that others cannot? Or was this something where literally, you know, anybody could have been in your shoes and would have likely felt that ill and sick in that situation?
I believe I am now, but I believe back then anyone that would stay there would experience something wild. Anyone that would have walked in that house would have felt that it was off. Our guests, our friends, the only person that never experienced anything was my oldest brother, but he only stayed there twice to visit, and he was in the basement area. So he never experienced anything, but everyone else that's been there can confirm something happened to him, even if it's a small thing.
It's interesting because you said that your dogs hated the basement as well, and your brother stayed in the basement. Tell me about your impressions of the basement from someone who lived there for a good period of time, not just staying over for a short period or a visit.
I think that it was that paranoid feeling I got a lot, that you felt like you were being watched. The fact knowing that there was something buried under my ground and we're in the basement makes me feel a little bit more eerie. I couldn't tell if it was a psychosomatic thing, though, when we were staying downstairs in the basement. Not a lot of things happened, but my dog didn't like it, you know, growling at things that weren't there, chewing through the door to want to get out, having that anxiety of being alone only in that particular room. But yeah, my brother, he didn't feel anything that we were feeling. It was just overwhelming sense of being watched. I wouldn't say a lot of activity happened downstairs as much as it did upstairs and in the attic.
Would your pets react to other areas of the house as well?
Yeah, well, let's say we were upstairs in the living room and there's nobody upstairs. He would bark at the steps, growl or bark at the steps, like if something was approaching it or approaching him coming down the steps. So, yeah, he didn't like it. He also would refuse to stay in my in particular room where the attic was. He used to always like land with me no matter where we're at, always wanted to be with me, but not in my room. It just wouldn't stay in there.
Oh, and your room is the room where you had the experience of almost feeling sedated, hard to move. Would you say it was a sleep paralysis type experience or a paralysis where you're awake type experience? Let's talk about those moments for a little bit. How did that go from the moment that you kind of gained consciousness? Walk us through what was going through your mind and what you experienced.
Well, sleep paralysis I've had many a times, and in there where I'm awake, but I can't move. It almost feels like I can't breathe, but my lungs are moving, but my body isn't. And I want to scream out for help and I can't. And I'm just, it's like you're frozen in time. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking I'm going to die. Something, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, freaking out. But when you're like that, and you're feeling also sedated, like if somebody drugged you, on top of your incident with sleep paralysis, is even scarier, especially when you're seeing what I believe were these tall gray figures standing around. I assumed that I wasn't going to make it. I thought that I was going to die from just the feelings I was having, or something really bad was going to happen from what I'm witnessing right now. I couldn't cry out for help. I really wanted to. At the time when that happened, my mother and my father were next door at their neighbors. I guess they threw a party, or they were hanging out with them because I was good friends with them. So I was alone. So I really thought that I wasn't going to get out of it. And it happened more than once. But the next couple times it happened was just that paralyzed feeling. I didn't see anything. I didn't feel as sedated. I just felt like I couldn't scream out for help. I couldn't move my arms. My face and head were stuck in the same position. And you couldn't move. And it took it's a short time, but it feels like a long time when that's happening.
Did you have any outlets to share this experience with after it occurred? Were you able to talk with your parents, with a family member, friends, anything like that?
Yeah, I actually would tell my parents, and they kept wanting to tell me that was just anxiety. You deal with anxiety, you deal with panic attacks. That's what that was. But what it was is they were afraid to tell me what they really thought it was. I believe sleep paralysis is something from, an entity. I believe that it's paranormal when that happens. So, and I know they do too. And nowadays they'll admit to, saying that it was. But trying to talk to them about it, they just weren't listening. They didn't want me to freak out some more. I would tell my friends, and, they were young, so they were skeptics over it, and they're like, it's bull crap. So it's hard to tell people things like this because nobody will believe it unless they see it for themselves or experience it themselves.
How did that affect you when you're sharing these experiences that are, for lack of a better term, traumatic, and very few people are believing you? How is that registering with you? How are you processing the constant dismissal of your experiences?
Actually makes you feel crazy. It almost makes you feel like, am I just imagining all this? Am I going crazy? But also makes you upset, like nobody would listen. And I knew what happened to me was real. I knew everything that was happening in that household was real. It was pretty depressing that nobody would listen. And they always go straight to the fact that it's anxiety. You're panicking. I do believe that my grandmother believed me because she had the same experience. So that was probably the only person that would really listen to me about it. Cause like I said, she was pinned down too. So yeah, it really affected me mentally. And then I was almost, skeptic. I was a little bit of a skeptic myself after moving out still because of everybody telling me that it was all in my head. But I know today what happened was paranormal, and it was for a fact real.
How did you explain this to your grandmother, and what was her reaction?
Trying to explain to her that, like, what I felt, that paralyzed feeling, that it's almost like somebody's sitting on top of you, mm-hmm. and you can't move, but you're breathing, and that's the only thing you can feel move is, like, your abdominal as you're breathing. And she kind of said the same thing, that she felt the pressure of an elephant sitting on top of her. But she was pinned down on her back, but she didn't have the same feeling of the sedation, and she didn't see anything. She just felt the presence pushing her down. So she could relate to it. She definitely knew what I was talking about.
And she didn't dismiss it either, it sounds like.
Yeah, she didn't.
How did you express that, mom and dad are not, they don't believe me, but you believe me? I mean, that's kind of one of those things kids, normally do. Well, you believe me. Can you convince mom and dad? Was there any of that going on?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think I was at the age, I was young. So I believe kids sense and they feel and see more than us nowadays. Like now that I'm older, I know that kids can, because their brain's not fully developed. And I believe they see and sense more. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. I don't know. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it right now. Like just thinking about it freaks me out. I'm like, oh man. Cause I experienced it not long ago, but yeah, dude, my parents, they just, it's always the anxiety thing. They were always pointing at anxiety, panic attacks, anxiety. They'll agree to it now, but not then. And
were they doing anything at that point? If they're blaming anxiety, they're blaming panic attacks. Were they doing anything to, because if that's what they're believing truly, one would think, OK, well, let's get him to a doctor. Let's go and try and get some help medically for this, you know, this issue, because obviously those sort of things can be relieved through medication, therapy, things of that nature. Did they ever take you down that route to try and help you there?
Yeah, I went to doctors. They did sleep tests on me and everything. Never found anything unusual or anything wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't on too many medications at that time. So therapy, I was in therapy for like other reasons at the time anyways. But, you know, they never said that I had any health issues that would have caused that. So right there confirms again to myself that it was, you know, paranormal and not a side effect of the medication or anything. They started listening, but we didn't, you know, we didn't get to stay there when soon after this happened. We didn't stay there as long as I wanted to like really prove to my parents that, you know, what happened to me was real. We moved out, and the reason they moved out too, now I know, is because they were afraid to live there themselves. So they were just kind of hiding it. A lot of people are afraid to believe in this stuff and believe that this is real. And this is really happening. People are scared of that.
I want to talk about what happened with your parents and the reason for moving and what they experienced and what you found out later. But I want to ask you a question before then. Did you ever try and talk to your therapist about any of these things and these occurrences? Or was it one of those things where you just didn't want to bring it up in that sort of a setting?
Yeah, it was one of those things. I didn't want to bring it up too much, but I did tell him about how I was having sleep paralysis and stuff like that. I think the doctor was here at the time. You know, the pretty old school, and the first thing they want to do is try to prescribe you medication.
Sure.
So it didn't really do too much, but yeah, it was one of those things that you tell a doctor, they might think you're a little nut, you know, a nutcase.
Yeah. Sure.
So I didn't speak too much on it. You know, I didn't tell them I was hearing things, hearing voices and things like that, but just the sleep paralysis part I brought up, and they, you know, like I said, they did sleep tests and stuff on me and didn't find anything unusual. But it's one of those things you don't want to tell your doctor.
No, it's one of those things where, I mean, unless you really, you know, trust that individual and have the relationship where you feel you're not going to then, you know, be judged to a point of, okay, and these nice people over here are going to take you away after our 50-minute session. It can be something that's scary to talk about because...
Yeah,
they're going to look at it. And the thing is that the scary part about all that is there are certainly mental disorders that are very similar to paranormal experiences. So they are they're just trying to do their job based on, you know, what they're allowed to do and say. One of those things is not it's ghosts and move it on. You know, but if they're trusting of you and they see everything else is fine and everything else is balanced, this person is experiencing those things. I've heard from many therapists and psychologists and such who listened to this show over the years who said, we have people that come and talk to us about these things. And, you know, all we can really do is just listen. And if we believe there's nothing else going on, there's not some sort of mental breakdown going on, we don't know what to say, you know, other than just be an outlet for them to try and work through what is happening. And that's good when you can find someone like that. Unfortunately, that seems to be few and far between. So all these years later, obviously at the time, your parents weren't necessarily filling you in on what was happening to them in the house. Over that span of time where you're having these experiences, what were they experiencing in the house?
Well, my mom will say similar things to always. She always thought somebody was breaking in, so she always was hearing other people there that weren't there. She actually had experiences of hearing a lot of growls, growling sounds, not coming from the dog, always coming from upstairs when she was in the living room. And you remember the attic is upstairs in my room, so I believe that's where most activity was. But she kept experiencing growls, and she was always paranoid as well. She would actually she never called the cops like I did, thinking somebody was breaking in, but it always felt like somebody else was there, more than one too. My father, he's tough. He's tough, right? So he comes from the military, and he's that tough kind of guy where he's just like, you know, he's a skeptic. So he's agreed that he has had these experiences, whether it may be seeing something in the corner of his eye, hearing something, feeling something, but he still does not believe in it, even still today. Mm-hmm. My mom believes in it. Like, again, she was just kind of covering it up, but she had similar things that happened to me. But I think I never really heard too many growling sounds, anything like that. It was mainly talks, whispers, and moans, sort of thing. Back then, I kind of wish we had we recorded it and filmed it. It would have been nice to really find out what they were trying to say to us. But yeah, she would see things too in a corner of her eye. You know that like quick glimpse, you see something, you know it was just there.
Sure.
She would see like a black mass, and I don't know if she ever said she'd seen an apparition, but I know she's seen shadows, which would go back to where I saw the gray figures. I feel like she might have seen when I saw that night when I was experiencing that in the bed. But my dad, now you're not going to get through to him. he'll tell you some things that did happen, but he thinks it's all baloney.
So all these years later, if you sit down with him, what is his attitude on the house?
Well, I'm trying to change it now, because now that we brought it up recently, talking about going back to film there, he'll agree to some things that happen. But I'm actually trying to get him to be more open-minded because of what I do for a career now. Mm-hmm. He's starting to come around and really pay attention and really open his mind up more. So if, let's say we brought him back in there today, maybe he'd be more open-minded about it and maybe tell you some more of his stories. He still won't tell you much. He'll only tell you brief things, little things that, you know, could be paranormal or couldn't. You know, like I said, seeing something in the corner of his eye, hearing noises. But he also, you got to remember, he worked a lot more too. So he wasn't as home as much as I was and my mother. My mom was stay-at-home mom unless she was out. And I was either in school or I was home. So he was also gone a lot.
Why do you think that is? And this is just an opinion question, because I think a lot of us have someone in our lives who, you know, may have had paranormal experiences, but they don't talk about them, or they kind of try and dismiss it left and right, no matter how evident the experience may have been. Why do you think in your case that your dad kind of takes that path, kind of takes that road of, well, we'll dismiss it here, we'll dismiss it there, but you know, deep down, this individual had those experiences. How do you think he's processing that allows him to do that, or why he does that?
With him, and I think other skeptics, I think they're just scared. My opinion, I think they're just actually scared. Mm-hmm. They're too afraid to admit that there is something else after we pass on. There is more to this world. So honestly, I think it's fear. That's the biggest thing. And admitting that there is something that you can't explain when you pass on. So I believe it's fear, even though he's a tough type of dude. But I've met a lot of skeptics, man, and a lot of them, I don't know. I feel like it's just that fear. Like, you're afraid. They don't want to know what's there. That's why they're not keeping an open mind, and they're trying to pretend nothing's actually happening around them. So the biggest thing to me would be fear. He's afraid.
Is it the fear that once you accept that these things are happening and that these things are in fact real, does it change the dynamics of just so many other things than in life? That
it's just
too overwhelming to be like, well, I flip this switch, and by doing that, it, you know, it lights up the city over here that has otherwise been dark. You know, it's not just like a light switch. You're like kind of turning a transformer on. and it does so many things.
Yeah. And I feel that maybe they're afraid that if they do that, they might experience more.
Yep.
You know, that now that they're open to it and that they might be looking for it. You know, you might be looking for it more. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're afraid that, you know how, like, you bring home an attachment. You go to an investigation, you bring home an attachment. You go back out, you have that fear knowing you might bring it home again. You decide to start really opening up and pay attention to these things. You might think in your brain that it's going to happen more and more, and you're going to be looking for it. I don't know. Maybe it makes them paranoid more. My dad's... I keep trying to get my dad to go on an investigation and join our show, actually. And he's close to doing it, believe it or not. This man is close to doing it. I'm hoping we can change that. But like I said, it's that fear. He's afraid that he's going to open up something else.
That's going to wrap up part one of our conversation with Brandon Crotty. In part two, what happened to Brandon's parents that made them flee the house? Does Brandon believe his parents are holding back any of their stories from him to this day? Does Brandon believe the spirit of the deceased woman was one of the spirits that was haunting the house? And what leads him to believe some of the entities in the house were in fact evil? And what did Brandon experience after his brother passed away? We're going to talk about all that in part two. To hear it become a gravekeeper, that's a supporter of our show. That's how we keep the show on the air. If we didn't do that, this show, quite honestly, just would not exist. So if you like the show, please become a gravekeeper. Sign up over at patreon.com/thegravetalks. $5 a month is all we ask. And in exchange, you'll get access to part two of all of our interviews, hundreds of them, ways that you can just binge away nonstop for probably weeks straight on some of the best ghost stories you will ever hear. Access to our advanced episodes as well, all of it commercial free. Again, patreon.com/thegravetalks. For about as much as a cup of coffee, you get access to all of that. And you keep this show afloat. Patreon.com/thegravetalks. Please do check it out. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.